Morning, everybody. I'm going to do something a little different today. You know, I feel a little bad if I go up there after David preached. Like, I think I'm really good and really cool and spiritual up there. But today, if I was to ask you guys a question, and I want to be down here because we have a little something different we're going to do at the end of the service today. But to begin the service off, I want to ask you guys a question. If you could go anywhere in the world, all paid for, you don't have to worry about it, where would you go? Anywhere in the world. Huh? Egypt. You want to go see the pyramids? It would be cool seeing the pyramids. Okay. If you go any place in the world, where would it be? Stephanie. Huh? Kansas? Dorothy? And you said where? Okay, Ireland, okay. You know, I mean, there's Italy. I know Di and I want to go to Italy. So if you guys ever feel moved in your spirit to send us on a husband and wife trip to Italy, more than welcome do it. My brother Jeff was just talking, and I think it was Italy, where you can buy, and he's checking into it, you can buy a home in Italy for €1. And what they're doing, and he thought, no, this isn't real, and he's checked into it, and it is real. In some of the towns that where a lot of the buildings are falling apart, and they're kind of restore their towns. So if you could come in for €1, you could buy a home, but you have to put $15,000 into it in 3 years. And you do that, that's your home in Italy. And they said it's been working in towns where they have a lot of history and where people, the homes are falling apart, people coming in and renewing those homes. And so my brother Jeff is looking into it. I mean, next time he goes, he's looking with some people and checking that out. I want a home in Italy. Yeah, we all go in €1, which is, I don't know how it's $1.60, whatever it is, €1, and we have a place in Italy. We all put our money in and we all go there. That's right. But if you could go anywhere, you know, I remember my first international trip. It was on a missions trip. My parents looked into a youth, it was called Teen Missions International in Merritt Island, Florida. And my parents, you know, they had a lot of kids. We had 7 kids. My 4 older brothers were out of the house at that point. And my parents wanted to go on this missions group. So they signed up and applied to it, and they became leaders of this team. And it was probably about 25 to 30 youth that they would be leading this that summer. And so my parents sold some of their stuff to be able to afford to go. We went down, I think if I remember correctly, it was like 6 to 8 weeks. And we went down to Merritt Island, Florida, and our destination was Norway. It was called a Norway bike team, where we'd go do evangelism and we'd ride bikes in different areas of the town and we'd do skits and we would do evangelism. So I remember we drove across the nation from Washington State. We went to Merritt Island, Florida. How many of you have ever been to Florida? Okay, I'm going to guarantee you never done this. Have you ever been in Florida in the middle of summer camping? Anybody raise your hands? I'll raise my hand. Well, that's what you do. In Teen Missions International, we went down there and it was 2 weeks of preparation before you go on your missions trip. And you were in the jungle of Merritt Island, Florida, a real jungle. They had to go through and get rid of the alligators, some of the bigger alligators around the different ponds in that area. And we went down there and you were going to 2 weeks of boot camps. You're in a sleep in a tent. They required everyone, even the leaders, to wear boots up here, like a 10-inch boots. You had to. You couldn't be part of it. You had to sleep in a tent. And then all this stuff. I mean, you didn't even get cold water. Only time you ever got cold water is, I remember one time, is you could hang your canteens on the trees. If there's a little bit of moisture on it in the morning, it would evaporate off because of the heat, and you might get a little momentary coolness to your water. Otherwise, you're chugging hot water all day. But one part of this preparation I really remember to prepare us to go to Norway was a boot camp they had. It was an obstacle course. It was probably the best obstacle course I've ever seen. I mean, had everything. They had scriptural things. You had to go over and put all the books of the Bible together. Then you run over and you go out this huge thing of tires and you go running across these tires. And it's a race and you're getting timed. And you'd even go out at the very end, you have to get 25 to 30 teens over a 10 to 12 foot wall. And you're all timed. Everyone. Doesn't matter who on your team. You had to figure out how to get them up that wall and over, and it was in a certain amount of time. But one thing that really prepared us, I look back at what really prepared us for that trip, was at the very beginning of the obstacle course, you'd run on this bus, an old school bus. You run up through the back, or the front, whatever, through your front, and everyone was given a number, and that was your number for the summer. So if Stephanie was 3, she was 3 all summer, and the people that were 4 and 2 would know who Stephanie's number was. And they'd get on the bus, everyone sit down, and one of the leaders would go, "Count off! 1, 2, 3, and they'd start 1 through, and they'd go through it, and at first, you were horrible. 1, 2, 3. I mean, it was really slow, but you had to do it fast, and people would go, "Oh, okay," you'd lose points, whatever. It was very strict. You'd go through and go through the whole count off until you get through that. Count off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You'd go fast. And I saw that coming really handy in preparation, because when we got to Europe to go to Norway, you guys ever been on, how many people have been to Europe? Have you ever been on some of the trains? Those trains come in and out, and they come in and out fast. They don't sit there for 20, 30 minutes. They come on, I don't know if it's 5 minutes, I mean, boom, they're in, they're out. Now we, as I think 25 to 30 teens, you're only allowed 32 pounds of luggage yourself for 6 weeks. 32 pounds, plus you had to carry food with you, some of your food. And we would, they call it attack the train. It'd come in, all this stuff, go! And they'd run, and like youth would run, and they'd roll down the windows, and they'd be bagging it, barely being able to make it off before the train takes off. And then when everyone gets on, my dad or my mom or one of the leaders, count off! You're teens. How do you know if they're all there? 1, 2, 3, 4! Hey, where's Bob? Hey, Bob! You go through the count off so you know everyone's there. And you do the count off of 25, 30. You do it in like 10 seconds. I mean, you go fast. Okay, we're here. Go! And you take off. Real preparation to our journey, which was Norway Buda. And I remember one of the highlights of that trip for me was, I mean, of course, Norway is one of my favorite places. I mean, it is gorgeous. The fjords, oh, it's just beautiful. And I remember going up, it was way up in the north of Norway, and they call it the midnight sun. And I remember going up in the mountain, and watch it in the summer, it'd come down, this is the sun. Right back up. Be 24 hours a day, almost all sunlight. And then they'd have that all nighttime throughout the entire months or whatever. You know, it was really a memorable trip. If you could go anywhere, where would it be? But today, you guys, I want to take a step back just from the book of James this week. Next week, we'll be continuing through the book. But today, as I want to talk about 2020, yeah, I'm talking about destinations. Where are we going? What's going on? I want to share where I believe that God is leading us as a church, and I'd say as my wife and I individually, in 2020. I wanted to spend some time just talking about that, kind of just lay out what I feel God is leading us this year. Where are we going as a church? You know, over the last years, I don't know if you guys knew this, over the last several years, the leaders here at Grace Crossing Church, we have been in a wrestling match. And what I mean by wrestling, we've been wrestling and seeking God concerning this question of where are we going as a church? And on July 11th, there's an email, July 11th in 2018, I reached out to Brian Scott, who is over the church multiplication over our district in Alliance Church. And he came out and to the leaders, he met with us leaders and he challenged us. I want you guys to come up to 4 to 6 core values that represent you as a church. And what these core values mainly mean as a church, these core values are, what are 5 ways that you will uniquely express the gospel as Grace Crossing Church in your community? What's something that's going to so define you as a church that all other things that come in and want to take and distract you as a church, you're going to push those aside if they don't line up with these 4 to 6 values that God has led and saying that's uniquely you. And we've been wrestling with that. We haven't rushed through it. We've been kind of wrestling at God, what are those 4 or 5 core values? What are they? And slowly words are coming up. Different things are starting to come together. And you guys remember that miracle that Jesus did when they brought the blind man to him? And he goes up to him and he touches him and he poof, spits in the guy's eyes and tells him, hey, can you see? And what do you see? Oh, I kind of see people, but they look like they're walking around like trees, right? And then he had to touch them again to be healed. I feel as we've been working through this that I'm starting to see people walking around like trees. It's not clear yet, but it's becoming more and more clear. So we have been working through this whole journey. And last year, I felt like we needed to speed up this process. So we have been meeting, and we're continuing to meet this year. Every first Friday of the month, we meet as a vision team, and we're talking about it. We're praying about it. We're bringing out different things, and we're working on an acronym for our 5. You know, we're going to come up with 5 core values is my goal. 5 core values with an acronym. The acronym that's easy to remember that God has put in our hearts. And different words have been coming forth like generosity, intentional discipleship. And these different words are coming and we're kind of wrestling through. And we're also looking at our 5-year plan. Well, we could say, what is our 5 years from now? And we're working backwards here. 5 years and that's our 6-month, 1 year. We're looking at our long-term vision with those 5 core values. So it's not like something you just do overnight. We've been praying, seeking the Lord, and wrestling because it's not an easy process. But first, before I continue, I just want to introduce some of the leaders here. But first, I want to recognize 2. Because I talk about leaders. What do you mean about leadership team? I just want to introduce some of them to you. First, I want to introduce 2 people. Of course, one's not here today. Natalie and Bo are taking Kendall back to college. But Natalie Sells, who normally sits over here. It's nice seeing you sit in your spot again, Stephanie. Since back here, she has been our secretary for several years. The secretary in our leadership team is one who records all the minutes and is also a voting member of our leadership board, and she's been helping with decisions in our church. And I just want to bring recognition to her. She's recently stepped down to be able to focus on family, and we have been so grateful for Natalie. For what she's done. And we're actually searching right now in the next week or so to find another secretary who has to be first a member and can be part of that. So I want to just recognize Natalie Sells. Another person is Roy Titus, back there. He's going to be soon crippled, Roy, for a while. But Roy has been serving as one of our elders for probably, 2-3 years? Maybe longer than that. I mean, we've been here 5, so 4? Whatever. You know, we've been here just over 5. So they say 4 to 5 years. And recently, he has decided to step down, be able to focus on things at home. And we have been blessed, Roy. We're still blessed, Roy, as he's still been actively involved. We are blessed that you have been our elder. And he stepped down. We're hoping it's just for a season, but season for him to heal so he won't be limping around and complaining about his knee anymore. He doesn't, but that he would just kind of be restored, because you know one thing I've seen in leadership. Anytime you're a leader, you enter a spiritual battle. You step out of leadership, the battle seems to kind of it feels better, but when you're in leadership, you're on the hit list for the enemy. You like right now with Crystal stepping up in our worship now, again. You're gonna be a target. You don't like that, do we? Right. So I appreciate Roy, I appreciate Natalie, and what you guys have done. But I want to introduce the rest of the members of our leadership team. And we have Joanne Self, she's up in the nursery, right? And she is our treasurer. She pays all the bills. She frets over the finances. As you guys may not know, we do have a prayer request. Our 15-ton air conditioner outside, one of the heat pumps is broken, the compressor's bad. And so it's a very expensive item. Do we want to repair it because our system's is old and ready to fall apart? We're wrestling with that because now we're running mainly with electric heat besides one 15-ton heat pump. So Dale and I are working on if I could get the equipment, maybe I could install it. We're trying to look at other alternatives because we don't have $50,000, $60,000 to replace it. We're building up the funds, but we just don't have that yet. So we're trying to explore options. So that's one thing that I know Joanne is probably thinking about. She's been our treasurer. There's also Johnny Childress back here as one of our elders. We also have Bo Sells as one of our elders. He's not here today. We have Dale Hartman back here in sound. And then we have Doug Weaver back there hiding, doesn't want to be looked at back there with his hand just up there. Those are our elders. So in our leadership team, we have as elders, and as elders, we also meet separately to deal with the spiritual aspects of the church, but we meet once a month as a leadership team, and we kind of talk about what's going on. And it's been this team, along with on our vision meetings, we've invited anyone who has been serving in our church in any way. If you're a part of Sunday school, you volunteer to help in the back of the kitchen, if you have served in some way, you are welcome to come to our vision meetings so your voice can be heard on what you feel the direction of our church should go. But as I've been saying earlier, as individuals, we've been spending many hours in praying, planning, seeking God's direction for our church. And we've been wrestling through this process, putting together our five core values. And God recently gave me a picture last year of a foot. Foot representing the gospel footprint that we're going to leave in Valley Station. And the five toes represent the five core values. So that's one thing that God just, I'm not a person that gets things in my mind or thoughts in my mind like that generally. And that was one of just like a gospel footprint. And those five toes represent what our gospel footprint will be. And so we've been wrestling and working through that. And I'm looking forward this year as we become more clear and be able to come. I'm hoping this year, I don't want to promise anything. Because to me, this process is much slower than I'd like it to be. I want to be able to start, even if it's begin unraveling some of those values, that will begin to start this year doing that. I look at us as a leadership right now like the Mare Island. We are in the jungles, it's hot, and we're working through it, but it's in preparation for what? A destination. What's our destination? Every church's destination should be what? To proclaim the gospel and make disciples of all nations. That's what we want. We want, how are we making disciples? How are we doing that? Fulfilling the gospel. How are we doing that? And we're right now in the boot camp stage, like a Mare Island floor. We're working through that and we're wrestling with God and hearing from Him. But as a pastor, what do we do right now? As we work through this, are we just kind of wandering through? What are we doing as a church? What are you putting your money into? Where are we going? And I want to share with you guys what I feel 2020, what I feel that God has put on my heart for 2020. As we are in Mare Island, Florida, in the sense, as we're working through as a leadership, as we're inviting more of you to be part of that, as we pray and seek God as a pastor, where are we going for 2020? As we develop that in boot camp, how are we getting closer to our destination? Where are we going right now? And one phrase that I believe that God has put in my heart for 2020, and it's this phrase, living on mission with Jesus in 2020. Living on mission with Jesus. I originally said living on mission with God, but I changed it to living on mission with Jesus. Living on mission with Jesus. I'm going to talk about why I changed that in just a minute. But there's a scripture that came to my mind as I was processing that statement, living on mission with Jesus, and it was a scripture that kind of jumped out to me, and I'm going through the Corinthians. And I was in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to read this passage to you. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. And I want you to just read the King James Version for you. And it translates this passage in this way. Now, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And then there's the Message paraphrase that says this. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. And through us, he brings the knowledge of Christ everywhere we go. People breathe in the exquisite fragrance. What an awesome verse. To live on mission with Jesus. And you see one word there repeated. Everywhere we go, we are on mission with Jesus. And I love here, it says, in Christ, we are a triumphant. In Christ, we are victorious. And when I think of 2019, as we study through the book of Colossians, about the sufficiency of Jesus, if we're to live on mission with Jesus, with Christ, we need to know the sufficiency of Jesus. And look at 2019 as we've been looking at Jesus, whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in Christ, whom is the hope of glory. And because of Christ and what he did on the cross for us, we have been set free from the power of sin and death. And because of Christ, what Christ did in us, everywhere we go, we are to be the fragrance of Jesus everywhere. Because do you recall the words that Jesus said? And that's why I changed it from God, living a mission with God, to Jesus. Because did not Jesus say in John 20:21, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. We are on mission with Jesus. We have the privilege of being called on mission with Jesus. All of us are to live on mission with Jesus. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be up on the worship team. You don't even have to be in the Sunday school or the children's church. Everyone is called to be on mission with Jesus. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be like me that's perfect in everything I do, right, honey? You have to be perfect. So I think one of the big tactics of the enemy here is this. He always makes you feel so unworthy that you can't be on mission with him. Well, maybe if I get really spiritual, like this person, then I'll begin to walk on mission. I'm going to talk about what it means in just a moment. What does it mean to live on mission? But one of the tactics of the enemy is always feel you're so unworthy. You're a failure. You can never do it. And so you just feel like, oh, someday I'll be that person. But you know what? Just look at the disciples. Were the disciples perfect when they followed Jesus? They were messed up in some pretty big ways. I mean, I don't know about you, but I know you're on those category sin. All sin, yes, I know sin. But you know, one of the top ones that you see that God hates is what? A proud look. And they had pride. They argued about who's going to be at Jesus' right and left. A couple of them brought their mother. Just like, he said, you're right and left. Woohoo, we're going to get it now. My mom's going to move Jesus' heart. They had issues, yet Jesus called them to live on mission with himself, despite their imperfections. As a Father has sent me, I have sent you, the words of Jesus. So I want to ask you guys a question today. What does it look like to live on mission with Jesus? What does it look like? I'd say the first thing, the ultimate thing, the first thing we need to do is keep connected and keep close to Jesus. The teaching of Colossians. Keep connected to Jesus. It is so easy to be distracted with all the things around us. I mean, are you busy? Stephanie's not busy at all, are you? Yeah, she isn't. Are you kidding? Are you busy at all? Crystal, you just sit around all day and just have your kids cut your toenails and do all the pedicures for you, right? We wish. We're so distracted with so much. We're so busy. And it's so easy to get busy in the church doing churchy stuff. But as we saw in Colossians, one of the big focuses, I just want to encourage you guys for 2020, just keep connected to Jesus. Find ways to think about Jesus, to be with Jesus. Because if we want to live a mission with Jesus, the first essential thing is that we keep connected. We listen to Him. We're kind of spending time with Him. We're kind of having our ears open, and we're kind of near His heart so He could infuse His desires into us. So how do we do that? Of course, you guys know, spending time with Him in prayer, spending time in His Word, not because you check it off your schedule for the day. Okay, I'm out of here. But you do it because you see your need to connect, to abide in Jesus. When, or, you know, if you're like, hey, how do I connect to stay connected to Jesus? Why don't you guys read the Gospels? Make the Gospels one of the books that you always read throughout the week. Pick a book and say, okay, whatever I read, I will always read some section of the Gospels so that Jesus, in a sense, is the focus of what I read, His story, His journey. Or find a good book. There are some great books out there. You just want to go into the life of who Jesus is. Consume your life with Jesus because your sufficiency is in Him. Because you go out there and do all this mission stuff all you want. But if you aren't doing it with Jesus, it'll just be another program. So I want to encourage you guys, if you want to begin to know, if we want to know what it means to live on mission with Jesus, we need to keep close to Him. Don't let life blur your relationship with Him. Don't let your life do what life's doing to me right now, because I forgot my glasses, you're kind of blurry. So if you have a zit, I can't see it right now, lady, so I'm sorry. Don't let life make things blurry for you. Keep Jesus the focus. So how do we live on mission with Jesus? We need to keep connected and close to Him. And that's something only you can do. Yes, meeting with people, meeting with fellowship, and there's other ways you can connect with people with Jesus. And maybe you need help with that. I understand that. But this ultimately comes down to your decision. I want to connect with Jesus. Second, if we want to live a mission with Jesus, we need to realize that Jesus is on a mission. That He's doing something. He's working right now. Yes, even though at the cross, He finished the story of redemption. Yes, it's awesome. But right now, He's out. And what is He trying to do? He's trying to reach people. He's trying to reconcile people to Himself. Of course, you know, I've talked about in the past that whole statement, that Latin statement, Missio Dei, the mission of God. And if that's true, that Jesus, if God is on mission, that means He's doing something. And if He's doing something, what else is God? He's everywhere. And if He has a mission and He has things that He's accomplishing and He's everywhere, what does that mean? Everywhere we go, He's doing something. And what's awesome about that is when He's doing something, He say, hey, come with me. So everywhere you go, okay, I want to use you. Be on mission with me. So wherever we go, we are on mission with Jesus. He invites us, as our Father sent me, I tell you to go. We're on mission with Him. He invites you in 2020 to do that. Wherever you go in the workplace, how many people love their work? Just regular jobs? Like, man, I'm just passionate. I just want to go and work. HVAC, it's fine. I mean, I do like people, and there's certain things I like. But I don't get up every morning, hoo-hoo! I'm to live on mission. Am I doing my HVAC job? Am I looking at it that way? Do we need to realize that we're on mission? When you go to the grocery store, the same one, you know, you got, just like you guys sit in the same spots, you always like go to the same place. When you go to the place, you're on mission. You ever rush into the store and the long line's long and you're in a rush and I forgot to get something, so my wife sends me down to the store to get it. We can't go anywhere when I'm in a rush. Am I on mission with God? Maybe that long line there's for, you know, it's like this whole idea. Or when you meet a neighbor or stranger, you're on mission. When you encounter the orphan or widow, you're on mission. So this is what I see for 2020, a group of people who, when they are learning that when they step out of the church, which is a celebration, we know this is church building, we are the church, this is just a building, but when we step out of here, they're on mission. When you step out of here, do you look at it that way? I'm on a mission with Jesus. So if we want to keep connected with Jesus, if we want to stay on mission with Jesus, we need to keep connected with Jesus, and we just need to realize we're on mission. Isn't that part of the battle? We just don't realize it or think about it, so we just live our life in the busyness of life. So first, we keep connected with Jesus. Second, we need to realize that Jesus is on mission, and he invites us to join him on the mission. And third, we are to be the fragrance of Christ to those around us. 2 Corinthians 2:14, I want to read that again. It says this, "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Everywhere. When we step out of this church, we are looking for opportunities to serve and to love, as Jesus says in Matthew 25, the least of these. God is on mission. His heart's for the least of these, and he's invited us, come along on this mission. I believe there's a monumental shift that's beginning to take place here at Grace Crossing Church. We began to see it, even if it's a small steps last year, and I'm convinced that it will continue to take place this year. And instead of being just an inward-focused church, we're beginning to kind of just glimpse or starting to look outside of ourselves. And we see that with the blessing of Lori doing our homeless ministry. We used to do kind of ministries during the holidays. Don't you want to be a church that's serving and just be on mission all year long? We saw what happened when Di came across those people at her work that needed clothes, and we let people know. And you know what? People just jumped in and just, she was overwhelmed with a generosity. You know one thing, and that's one word we're thinking about with our core values, is the word generosity. Of being a church that's generous with money towards those that are in need and towards time. And that's even more. We talked about our leadership at our vision meeting. Time is the hardest because we're so busy. Time. Living on mission with Jesus. Of course, you might think of generosity. I just think when we had Don Dillavu and his wife come out on that 22nd December to do that drama up here. You know how much we gave him? He doesn't ask for any price. He said, oh, churches pay me. As long as you pay for my gas, find a place for me to stay. Pay between $50 and $150, I think it was his range, or $200. You know what we gave him? Over $400. He was blown away. He's just like, he said he looked at it, thought maybe it was really written out to me. Don't we want to be church? It doesn't matter our size, that we're generous. Don't we want to be a generous church? And that is one word we are praying about and we're considering. Because one thing I see in the church, and I see it in myself, it all has, if you want to live on mission with Jesus, it starts with us individually. I could be telling you all this, but until we take it to heart and make it our own, we need to all know we're living on mission with Jesus. Jesus is calling us to go. He's not telling us to wait for people to come through that door. He's commanded us to go. And it's time, as I see it, we're starting to walk in obedience, that we start going. Because one of the things that we see within the church is the church is so self-absorbed with a feed me mentality, a self-righteous mentality. Who did Jesus get angry with? Do you ever see in the gospel, maybe I'm wrong, David, tell me if I'm wrong, you ever see Jesus is totally coming down on some tax collector or prostitute and just digging into them for how bad they aren't living their lives? I don't see anywhere in the gospel. Who did he go to? The religious, the brood of vipers. And he went hard on them. What would Jesus say about our church? What would he come down on in the church that we falsely represent him? How easy we are have so much inward pride. How easy it is for us to criticize a person's behavior without even knowing their story. We do exactly what David said last week. We're prejudiced towards others. We judge them. We look down on them. I've seen in my own life, you know, I've been going through, looking at my own evaluation, my own Christianity and the suffering of the world and how it reflects me and how utterly selfish I can be. You know, it's so easy to be, oh, you know, I've been raised in a strong Christian family and I've been taught right and wrong and I had a parent who role modeled Christ, so because of that, I criticize someone else for their behavior. Yet, they didn't have any of those things. And even if they did, we aren't to do that. But you know, it's like I'm judging them because of what I had. You know what one conclusion I've come to? Or at least I'm processing through? If it's true that God's sovereign, I believe it's true, he knew where you're going to be born. He knew all this stuff. Is it possible that if you were raised in a good Christian family and you had all these good things, could it be possible that God knew that if you weren't raised in that environment, you might not follow him? So that person that's living and struggling may in some way be a stronger person than you. Think about that. He knows all that. So we get all self-righteous. Oh, I had a family of those poor people. And God, you're thinking, well, maybe God put you there because you couldn't do it. So that person there, wow, they're strong. They may have gone from there, and they're going away. And you look at how far they've journeyed because of what they went through. And they went, whoa, they're here. But still, you look at their life compared to what you've been raised, where they don't seem like they've gone anywhere. But you look at your life, well, I was raised here. How far have I grown? And then they've gone from the abusive situation. They're, whoa, but they're still not quite as spiritual as you are. But they've journeyed long ways and through hardship. How often it is easy for the church to criticize those who have, they don't even know. There are many Christians, as I would call it, they have a Pharisee complex. And it reminds me of that story. And I want to read that story to you in Luke 18. Beginning in verse 9, it says this. He, Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. And two men went up to the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and another a tax collector. And the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Because I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is Jesus. Now, this is Jesus. This is God. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. How many of us are just like that Pharisee? We judge this outward behavior. We judge the stuff. As David talked about last week, we are prejudiced. What do you think Jesus thinks about that? We look on someone's behavior because they're living with someone outside of marriage. Well, if they would just stop, if they would just know better. But have you journeyed with them? Have you built a relationship with them? Now, you guys, if you guys know me, I believe in truth. I believe in Scripture. I don't believe that we water it down and say, oh, that's not wrong anymore or whatever. I hope you guys know that about me. But there's a time to speak the truth. But the first thing is love. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. There's a time to speak love, but I think we all speak all this truth. There's a time to speak truth, but we're not loving. I think in some way in our culture, you need to earn the right to speak the truth in people's lives. Now, if God puts something on your heart and you feel like you need to go say it, I'm not saying don't say it, but it better be in love and it better be at the right time. There's a time, yes, I believe there's to speak the truth, but you better wrestle through that and you better go in fear and trembling when you do it and not go in it with a Pharisee complex. Because we need to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Or maybe we're critical of a person who's homeless. Have you ever done that? Well, you know, if they would just get their life together and be responsible, then they wouldn't be living on the streets. Has anyone ever thought that? Am I the only one? You know what? I didn't have time to verify this or anything, but you know what? I think it was one of the ministries here in town said, you know those homeless people that there's about, I think they said maybe 70 or 80% of them have mental issues. So obviously they chose to have those mental issues. And they just decided, today I'm going to be mental and I'm going to live on the street. Today I'm going to go to the military and go through all this stuff and I'm going to live on the street. But how often we judge and we criticize not knowing their story, not knowing where they're from. Are there people that can, should be responsible, should not be running with the system and taking advantage of or something? Sure. But how are we going to know? Are we God? We are called to love. And Jesus, I don't think Jesus sat there, okay, you did this, you did that, I'm going to hang out with you because you made good decisions. He hung out with the tax collectors and sinners. And who got mad at him? Religious leaders. We need to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We need to go outside our church and live in the messy lives of others. We don't need to go out there and point out all the bad things that people are doing. You know what? I'll tell you, they probably already know it. They know it, but they just don't know how to get out of it. We are to live on mission with Jesus. And you know what? I also want to clarify this. When I mean to live on mission with Jesus, this does not mean that you need to go outside the church today, walk up to someone and go, you know what? Do you know Jesus? I've done that. I went to Bible college and we'd go out on Fridays and do evangelism. And I'd go out there and get the nerve up, which I don't know why I should need to get the nerve up, but I did it. And I'd go up to start talking to someone and I just always feel such a failure every time. And then I'd go off with these Russian girls. One name was Angela and Olga and this, I forget her, the other girl. And she'd come down with us and she had a gift of evangelism and she would lead people to Jesus all the time doing that. Yeah. Can I be honest? I want to get jealous. Ugh! That doesn't mean live on mission with Jesus that you have to just go off in some stranger. And now if God says to do that, sure. But you know, mostly you just don't go off to say, oh, do you know Jesus? Doesn't mean that, to live on mission with Jesus. What does it mean to live on mission with Jesus? A neighbor's moving in next door, down the street. You see a car, U-Haul pulling up. Oh, sure, okay, your game show starts in an hour. Or no, your game show starts in 15 minutes. Your soap opera. I know Stephanie loves watching soap operas. No, I'm kidding. Person's moving, you haven't met them. How hard is it? Now, how hard would it be to go, do you know Jesus? As they're carrying boxes into the house? Get out of my way! Hey, my name's so-and-so. How you doing? Where are you guys from? And they sit there for a moment and kind of catch, hey, you guys need some help? Man, I know. You missed your soap opera. You missed your video game or movie you're going to watch because you didn't have much time off. But going and helping that person move. Or maybe that's still a little uncomfortable for you. So you decide to make them a meal, and you're kind of a little embarrassed for it, so you call a friend from church. I'm a little embarrassed, but could you help me go over and take them a meal because they're new in the neighborhood, and we can introduce ourselves because I'm a little shy, I'm a little introvert, and I don't do that. Invite someone in a body to come with you and do that. Or you notice a neighbor who's a widow and all her children have died before her. Her husband's gone. She has no place for Christmas. Invite her to your house for Christmas party. Or maybe that's you don't know her, you don't even know how you talk to her. So you take some of your food. You make up some ham and you just put this nice plate and you go over and say, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and give her a card and give her some food. How hard is that, really? It takes time. Or you notice a homeless person coming into you over the parking lot and saying, oh, you, my family are stranded, and we've been trying to get down to Gatlinburg or somewhere for a long time. You know, they're going off on this whole thing, and you're like, man, what do I do? Well, it's between you, and if you want to give them money, that's up to you. But you know what? Well, just look at them and say, you know, are you hungry? I'd love to get you something to eat. Must be a long journey. Let's go here. We're right here at Walmart right now. Hey, want some groceries? Finding a way to bless someone. Or you notice a single mother struggling to take care of her kids. You know what? Three or four of her kids, all from different husbands. Or men. Not even husbands, men. And she's struggling, wanting love from a man, struggling, doesn't know how to take care of family. She's just, oh, and you come across and you meet this girl. She's like running with her head cut off. And you decide, hey, I'm going to go over, and you befriend them, and you get to know her a little bit, and you have her and her kids over, and you're like, oh, no, what are they going to do in my house? And they go around, and you get to know her, and you even come to a place, hey, you want to bless her, you want to be live on mission with Jesus, so what do you do? Hey, why don't you go off on this Friday night? We're going to take the kids to love her. You know, during any of these scenarios I gave you guys, during those things, that any time God prompts you then to speak the truth, then be willing to just tell them the truth of Jesus. Do you need to go in and have the Roman road memorized? Do you have to go through and have all that? No, as I shared before, and when we went through the book of Colossians, to preach the gospel, one of the greatest tools we have is our testimony. And all you have to say is when you're sitting down with her and she's crying out to you what's going on in her life, you say, you know what? I'm going to tell you a story. I don't know if you believe in God or Jesus, and I'm going to just tell you what Jesus did in my life. And when I was 12 years old, or when I was 20, whenever you came to know the Lord, I was down the dumps, and I came to this church thing, and I heard the gospel, and this is what I heard. I just heard that Jesus died for me. I go, what? He died for me? And you just tell him your journey. That's all. And then you may even, if you have the gump after to say anything, just look at them and go, is that something you want? But so many of us in the church aren't even around those people to even tell people our story. We are to be the light of the world. So in closing today, I want to do something a little different. You probably noticed two tables up here. If first, the first table here, if we are to live on mission with Jesus, there is a key ingredient, and that ingredient is prayer. Ever since Di and I have come to this church, God's just put on our heart, and we've done every year in different ways. We've done either a week of prayer and fasting. Last year, we did a 45 days of prayer, and we used to be over that in the old chapel, and they were using it, and we did every day of the week. We had a prayer night, and we all these. We believe that prayer is the answer of connecting with God and hearing from Him. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Unless we have prayer, it's all going to be self-effort, and there will be no fruit. And we're going to do something different this year. I have up here our week of prayer and fasting is after our annual meeting, which is next Sunday. For those who are members or those who are going through the process of membership, you're invited next week after the service, about half an hour, 45 minutes after the service. I mean, that's how long it'll be for the meeting. Next week, starting January 19th, we are going through a week of prayer and fasting as a church. I don't know where God's calling you. Am I saying that you have to fast all week? No. Hey, ask God, how am I going to be involved? Maybe it's going to be off electronics for a week. Maybe it's going to be fasting at breakfast, or maybe fasting a day. That's between you and God. But it's a week of prayer and fasting as we seek for God to make clear where God's leading us, to seek God to make clear in our lives onto living with mission. It is a week of prayer. But what we're doing different this week is this. I have up here Sunday, Monday, and have days of the week. Now, Wednesday, we still have the prayer time here. But I'm leaving this open, and it's going to be a response time later after the service. What's one day that you as a family or an individual will adopt a day, and you adopt this day that I'm opening my home that day, that evening, for prayer time? Now, I promise you, you're not going to, most likely, unless God's Spirit moves, I doubt you're going to be flooded, you don't have room. Normally our prayer meetings aren't huge, and I'm hoping more people come out than they normally do because it's a week of prayer and fasting. But say you pick Thursday night, I want you to come up, write your name, your phone number, just in case I don't have it, and address and what time. And I will put together a schedule next week, this Sunday. This week I'll come up and I will bring it next Sunday and show you our prayer schedule. If you're working, you can't make it that night. If you put your name down there and no one shows up because it's a bad night, then you are committing. I'm going to be praying. We're praying tonight at 6 o'clock, and you spend some time in prayer for your own life on living with mission and on the church on living on mission. So what day? Sunday or Sunday evening or whenever? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday while we're at the church, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, a week of prayer and fasting. What is God saying to you? If we are to live on mission with Jesus, we need to encounter the Holy Spirit. Who's going to open their home? Ask God. I want to ask you today, what are you going to sign up for today? And then this is a second response today. Blankets. Now, Bonnie collected these blankets in memory of Paige, right? Because, and Paige had a real heart for homeless and people in need. We have a lot more blankets back there, too, and they're going to be giving some out this next Sunday. She asked us, was it last week or week before, she asked us to carry one of these blankets in our car so that we see someone in need, we can give them. And my charge of response for us is I'm asking us that we continue this ministry through winter time. So if you want to learn, I don't know about you, I'm a learner right now. If you want to learn what it means to live on mission, the first step is having our eyes open to it. I ask you, as we worship, as the worship team comes forward, I ask you this question. Well, first, are you willing to open your home for an evening of prayer on this week? Two, if you want to learn what it means to live on mission with God, I ask you to take a blanket and carry it in your car. If we have more blankets, there's more back there. Take several if you want. And then when you give it away, let's keep collecting blankets for the next 2 months. Now, if you come here and there's no blankets, you're saying, okay, I'm going to go buy myself a blanket. Just imagine if all of us carried a blanket just to train ourselves to be looking for people in need. It just brings us that awareness. I mean, Olivia just, bam, when he did that, oh, there's some homeless. I mean, you don't even see him. And she's like, isn't that the first step is just being aware of the need? So my challenge today, you guys, we need prayer, but I want to keep this going. So I ask us to bring more blankets. Let's keep that stock, but if we are out, go get a blanket, carry one in your car, and then when you run out, come back either Sunday, go buy another, and make that a ministry for the net through the winter time. Is that really hard to do? No, not really. So I just want to pray for you guys today. We are called to live on mission with Jesus. And it's only going to take place if we go out there and we begin to live it and learn it and walk with Jesus. As we worship, I just invite you guys to respond in your own way. I want to learn what it means to live on mission with Jesus. As we respond, you go up and you go sign up for a day. You just grab a blanket. You can do both. That's between you and God. But I invite you to respond. Lord Jesus, I want to live on mission with you. Let's worship.